77 quickly in your Bible. Psalm 77. I love the book of Psalms. The older I get, the more I find myself turning to the book of Psalms, because the more I find a need to sense the Spirit of God and comfort in a book of the Bible that was written in many ways specifically for that. The psalm we're looking at today is not a psalm of David. It was a psalm written by Asaph. Asaph was the chief musician over the choir. Really, he was the choir director, more or less, of Israel. But he was a musician in and of himself in that he wrote some of the psalms under divine inspiration of the Spirit of God and much of the music. He was a highly talented individual. But like a lot of music people, he was a little sensitive. He had some, now that was his best money, that was mean. No, it isn't. Music people are a little, just can be a little bit sensitive, you know, a little bit sensitive, just like preachers can be kind of ignorant. And, wake up! You already had the eclipse. We're done with that. Asaph was a musician, but he was also a man who had known his share of heartache and problem. And under divine inspiration, he gives us an answer to that. You see, part of the issue that we face in life is simply this. We don't always see God. In the middle of a problem, it would be very nice if every time our heart were breaking, or every time a tear would fall, or every time something happened that we can't naturally explain it, it would be wonderful if we could just look and all of a sudden see the hand of God. See something that proves it. See something that would be incontrovertible evidence that God is in the midst of our storm. God is in the midst of our problem. Christians are not immune from personal crisis. This includes heartache that overwhelms, a darkness that envelops, tears that will not stop, grief that dominates our entire being. If we're honest, sometimes we can't see God no matter how hard we look, and that deepens into despair. The thing I appreciate about Asaph is he's very honest. He doesn't pretend everything is okay when everything is not okay, at least in his thinking. And his problem is that he couldn't see God. But he also discovered something. There is a way back home. There is a way to see God when you can no longer see him. There is a way to turn your heart in such a way that while God doesn't appear in the midst of the crisis, God is there, and looking back, you'll see him. In a nutshell, Asaph discovers one word that we're going to talk about at length this morning, and it is the word remember. It is the word remember. When I cannot see God, I need to remember God. Purposeful memory lets me see God again. I'll get into more of what I mean by this, but memory is given as a wonderful tool. How many of you, almost everyone in the room, you don't even have to raise your hand. The vast majority in this room have had a loved one pass away. You say, Pastor Mahdi, they're gone. Yes, they're gone. But their memory is not. And you can take comfort oftentimes in the memory of your loved one. My mother slipped into dementia and for at least four, almost 5 years, was in a very deep state of dementia. Of course, the longer it went on, the Alzheimer's dementia, the more deeply she was involved in that, until she couldn't even recognize me, who I was. I'd go to visit and she didn't know who I was. She didn't have a clue about that. That's heartbreaking because Mom's memory was gone. But my memory is not of those days. That really wasn't the Mom I knew. My memory always served me best when I thought about the mom who was strong in the face of my dad's death, who decided that she would carry on even though she didn't have a man in her life, and by the way, never did remarry. My memory of my mom is strong in the things that she did for me, the sacrifice she made, going back to work at Honeywell after a number of years of not working because she wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. Then having to go back to work at Honeywell Corporation and making sacrifices. And then when it came time to college choice and the expense of all that, both my brother and I decided we would go to Bob Jones. Can you imagine this? That cost $5,000 a year back then. Wasn't that a bargain? That was a real bargain. Room, board, and tuition, folks, but you know what? That was a lot of money. Mom helped with that. I don't remember, I try not to remember the mom that I saw languishing in the nursing home, but I do remember, and it brings me comfort, the brilliant, funny, witty. By the way, my mom was funny. My mom, you think, Pastor Monty, sometimes your sense of humor, I'm blaming her for that. My mom was so funny that I cannot repeat in this pulpit the things my mama said to me. There are things you'll learn at mama's knee that you won't learn at any other joint. I'm not moving till you laugh. In a nutshell, God's given us the gift of memory. Really, in this psalm, Psalm 77, there are two parts, verses 1 through 4. The psalmist is looking for God, but he's troubled that he cannot see God in the present crisis. Look with me, if you will, at Psalm 77, verse number 1. The psalmist writes, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. By the way, that's a good place to turn. He said, wait a minute, preacher, he doesn't see God. No, but he's still crying out to God. Don't turn your back on God. When you're in the middle of a crisis, don't give up on God. The psalmist did turn to God, but he confesses, verse 2, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. Is it possible to seek after God and yet find no comfort? That is absolutely possible. My soul refused to be comforted, he said. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. This is, again, the experience of a Christian man. We would use the word Christian. A Christian man who went through something so deep. You say, preacher, what was it? I don't know. The psalm seems to indicate, though, that it may have been something on a national level that affected him personally as well as every other member of the Hebrew nation. We don't know exactly. But he says he remembered God, but the memory of God didn't make him happy. It made him troubled. He said, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Have you ever felt overwhelmed? Don't raise your hand, but a lot of us have. Most of us probably have been there. He said, I was overwhelmed. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. In other words, I can't sleep, verse 4. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Have you ever been there? There's nothing left to say. That happens to people sometimes in the midst of their grief and the crisis. I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. There are two parts to Psalm. Verses 1 through 4, the psalmist looks for God, but he is so troubled that he can't see God in the present crisis. Now, the good thing is, in verses 1 through 4, he's still looking for God. That's a really good thing, okay? He didn't turn his back on God. He didn't get mad at God. He didn't say, well, Pastor Monty, if there were a God, everything would work out fine in my life. No, don't do that. That is the faith of a pygmy. That is not intellectual. God allows things in our lives. If you've ever read the Bible, every hero of God in the Bible has gone through deep waters for a particular purpose. God does it for us or allows it for us. But we sure would like to see him, wouldn't we? We sure would like to see him. Pastor Monty, what should I do if I can't see him? Then I need to do this next best thing. I need to remember him. What do I need to remember about God? Look, if you will, at Psalm 77, verse number 6. Verse 5, he says, I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. So I'm looking around, and my present moment doesn't look too good. In fact, there's not a lot to recommend me to the present moment. I'm not happy about it. Things are falling apart on this side. They're falling apart on that side. He says, I don't see God in all of this. But in verse number 6, he says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. Over and over again, the word remember or remembrance is going to come up in the psalm. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart and my spirit made diligent search. What do I need to remember when I can't see God? Number one, remember your song in the night. Pastor, what is a song in the night? Night there is figurative for a dark time, a bad time, or a troubled time. Every person in this room, and probably most of us on multiple occasions, have gone through what we would call a night in our lives. The sun isn't shining, but rather it's dark. We can't see ahead. We can't see around. We're not sure what God is doing. We certainly cannot see God. And yet, in the midst of that darkness, God often gives us a song in the night. Preacher, are you talking about something experiential? Look at me, please. The simple answer to that is yes. We ought to experience our faith in a real way. Now understand something. We preach and teach the Bible, But it is not enough just to preach and teach the Bible. I should experience God in my life in a real way. Oh, Pastor Mania, can't wait. Sounds like you're about to tell us God whispered something in your ear. No. No, I don't do that. But I do know this. In the darkest moments of my life, God implants in my heart a song. Music is good that way. By the way, your Bible's open to the book of Psalms. Do you know what the book of Psalms is? That's the hymn book of the Hebrews. All of those psalms are hymns. And God gives us a song in the night, meaning there's something that comes upon us, a hymn. By the way, stop with me for a minute. This is why it's so important that we maintain a good, strong focus on the hymns of the Christian faith. I love all the music we're singing. I love every song we sing. I like those little choruses. They're pithy. I like that. And I love the great hymns. I love that. Variety is a very good thing, and I love all of that. But I love it when I know a song so well that in the darkest moment of my night, without my even thinking about it, that song breaks on my consciousness. Some of you know what my song is. I hope you have a song in the night. Pastor Monty, what is your song? Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. And I sing over and over again in my heart, sometimes out loud like I just did, but in my heart I sing over and over again, great is thy faithfulness. See, Pastor Monty, what does that do? In the midst of darkness and you can't see God, you remember that song. And you can't help but to be lifted up. Now listen to me. You say, Pastor, does that take you from the depths of despair to the mountaintop? No, not necessarily. But it just kind of carries you along. So that maybe through the darkness of the night or the darkness of many nights, that song is the background music to your life. You see, it is good for me to sing when I cannot see. The hymns of the church are the corporate testimony of the church seeing God. And I need to be reminded of that. Remember your song in the night. Number two, though. Now, what else do I remember? I can't see God in the midst of my crisis. Number two, I'm going to remember the truth against the crisis of the present. I am going to remember the truth against the crisis of the present. Now, look at verse number 7. The psalmist asks a series of rhetorical questions. He says, will the Lord cast us off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Oh, Pastor Monty, I would never ask those kind of questions. Oh, no, wait. These questions are inspired because they are the searchings of the psalmist's heart. But a moment ago I said this. These questions are asked rhetorically. What does that mean? The expected answer is no. In other words, will God be favorable no more? No. God will bless again. Will the Lord cast us off forever? No, the Lord will not. Is God's mercy clean gone forever? No. Does God's promise ever fail? No. Has God forgotten to be gracious? No. Has God's anger eclipsed his compassion? No. Pastor Monty, what is he doing? He's remembering truth. See, sometimes I can't see God, so I have to remind myself of truth. It's okay to ask the question. But the question comes back, any question that is accusatory toward God must come back with the answer of no. And what the psalmist is doing by memory is he is talking himself out of the negative messages that come to mind when he goes through a trial. Say, listen to me, look this way, please. This book is true. What the Bible says about God is true. Sometimes we allow the truth to be blotted out or obscured by the circumstances and the problems around us. And the psalmist simply does one thing. He remembers truth against the crisis of the present. He doesn't say, there must not be a God, because after all, I wouldn't be going through this. He never says that. But he asks a series of questions, expecting a negative answer. And he knows that though right now, in the middle of his crisis, it seems like the Lord had cast him off, God won't do that forever. He knows that maybe it seems like the Lord is not favorable, but God's favor will come again. His mercy will return. His promises will not ultimately fail. Do you see this, ladies and gentlemen? It is okay when your heart is breaking to talk yourself back into remembering God. You say, preacher, I can't see God. Okay, don't accuse him, but rather review who he is. That is precisely what the psalmist did. Number three, a third thing to remember. Remember, God is bigger than your crisis, even if you can't see him. Remember, God is bigger than your crisis, even if you can't see him. Drop down to verse number 10, Psalm 77, verse 10. The Bible says, and I said, this is my infirmity, my weakness, my problem, my crisis. This is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the, now note these words, right hand of the Most High. Pastor, what is that? I'm remembering God is bigger than my crisis. Now look at me. It does not deny the existence of the problem. Look at verse 10. This is my infirmity. He lays it out. Whatever the issue was, he lays it out before the Lord. Lord, here is my weakness. Here is the crisis. Here is the problem. It acknowledges the heartache, but he says, I'm going to remember something. The years of the right hand of the Most High. But what in the world? Why doesn't it just say, I'm going to remember God? Or at the most, why doesn't it just say, I'm going to remember the Most High? I think the word years are there because the psalmist is remembering the consistency of God. I haven't always been able to see God in my life, but when I look back, I see his presence consistently there. In the darkest moments when it seemed as if the heavens were brass and the prayers weren't answered, and I wasn't sensing God, and there was no sweetness of the Spirit of God. In those darkest moments, when I look back at those, I notice God consistently saw me through every step of the way. It's years, it's consistent. But the Bible says I'm remembering the years of the right hand. What is the right hand? Well, let me ask you a question. Unless this is too personal. How many of you are right-handed? Look at that. Look at that. The vast majority of people are normal. My pastor, Dr. Clearwaters, I think he was born at the turn of the 1900s. So he'd be a million years old now, but he was born way back then. He was naturally left-handed. And in the school that he went to, they believed that being left-handed was demonic. They did. They just believed that that wasn't appropriate. And so they forced him to write with his right hand. He had the worst handwriting ever because he never learned how to write with his left hand, and he couldn't write with his right hand, okay? But why does the Bible say, speak of the right hand of the Lord? That phraseology in the Bible, that is speaking of the power of God. So for those of us who are right hand, and for those of you all who are southpaws, God loves you too. But for those of us who are right-handed, this is the this is the strong arm. This, by the way, there's even more muscle in this arm. My shirts, they're super tight, short sleeve shirts, like around here. You love this, don't you, Rudy? My shirt's super tight right there on my right arm, but then on my left arm, it's not as tight, okay? This is the arm of strength. What is the psalmist saying? I'm going to remember God is bigger, God is stronger, God has the power to fix it. He not only says the years of the right hand, but he says of the Most High, the Most High. God transcends every problem I have. Ladies and gentlemen, he's just bigger. Pastor Monty, I just don't see it right now. Okay, remember it. Remember it. Sometimes when we can't see God at work, we have to consistently remember him. Quickly, number four, remember what God did for you in your past. Look at verse number 11. The Bible says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also in all thy work and talk of thy doing. Remember what God did for you in the past. Do you know what I need to do to see God? I need to walk through a past crisis. And to remember the idea of think upon it, to meditate upon it, is to play it over and over again. Well, Pastor Marty, I know God helped me out of the past, but boy, I'm sure not seeing God here. Okay, maybe not. Look back. Look back and say, what did God do here? What did God do here? How did God see you through? Do you have a list in your mind of moments when God just saw you through? Some of you are nodding your head, and because I know some of you, I know what you're nodding your head about. And God just saw you through? Well, Pastor Monty, that was then, this is now. Okay, if you're not seeing God, then turn back and remember. In fact, he uses the word meditate to think upon it. Walk through the past crisis in order to see God. Think about it, meditate. Look what else it says, verse number 12. It says this, I will meditate also of thy work. Notice this, and talk of thy doings. Pastor Monty, what is that? I'm going to verbalize. Look this way. I don't see God. I'm in verses 1 through 4 right now. I'm down in everything about Christianity. Everything troubles me. I don't understand where God is in all of this. Okay. Think back to where you clearly saw God, and then talk about that. See, it's remarkable the things that come out of our mouths will influence our heart. Do you know you can influence your emotion by the things that you say? It's not just the things you see and the things you hear, but the things you say. In other words, let me talk about this. If you're a negative person and you talk negative all the time, you're going to influence your heart to continue being negative. If you're a positive person and you talk positive, that encourages your heart. Well, Pastor Monty, there's just nothing positive to say. Kidding me, right? You're an American. You woke up in the United States of America, whether you're here legally or not. There is every blessing on the planet that belongs to you. Understand something, there's always something good to be said, and if I speak it, it reinforces it in my own mind. I'm going to talk about, if I don't have anything good to say about God right now, I'm going to talk about something God did in the past. I'm going to not only encourage other people by doing it, but ultimately encourage myself. I'm going to remember God is bigger than my problem. He is way bigger than that. I'm going to remember what God did for me in the past. I will meditate upon it. I will think about it. Next one, number 5, I will remember the presence of God among his people. Look at verse 13, please. Vitally important. The psalmist is in a dark place, verses 1 through 4. He can't see God, but part of the way back home involves the sanctuary of God. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength, note the next words, among thy people. Do you know how I can remember God when I can't see him? By remembering the presence of God among his people. If you look at that verse again, verse 13 and 14, you see the word sanctuary. What is sanctuary? Sanctuary was initially the tabernacle of Moses, later the temple, where God's people gathered to worship. That is where the choir would have sung that Asaph would lead. That is the sanctuary. But then in verse number 13, he speaks of our God. Not just my God, but he uses the corporate word our God. And then in verse number 14, he says, thou hast declared thy strength, note the words, among the people. Pastor Monty, I can't see God. Look at me. Get among the people of God and stay there. The best way through a crisis is not avoiding church. 2017, I went through what would be for me the darkest time of my entire life. I'm a pastor. So, Pastor Monty, you just shake everything off. No, actually, I don't. And if you're any sensible Christian, you understand that there are some things you just can't shake off. I went through a very dark time, as the Lord would have it. And so I look back, now I'm talking about the goodness of God, as the Lord would have it. The Sunday when there would be no way in the world I could stand up here and preach because of my brother's death by suicide. he took his own life. Because of that, I could never get up here and preach. It just so happens that Scott Pauley, Evangelist Scott Pauley, was here to begin revival meetings that Sunday. Is God good or what? God's good. So I remember coming to church. You say, Pastor Monty, did you feel like it? No. No. You ever not feel like coming to church? Oh, all three of you. Okay, then every one of you needs to be back here Sunday night, okay? 6 o'clock, be back here. Of course, you sometimes just don't feel like it. Do you ever in your heart think, man, I just don't want to face a bunch of people. Man, I'm going through something and all these people, it's just going to be too much. That's how I felt. But I knew it was important for me to be here. Now, I wasn't preaching. Thank God I wasn't preaching. But I knew it would be important to be here, and so I showed up. I didn't want to be here. I remember praying on my way to church that morning in my car, Lord, just get me through the next hour and a half. Just get me through. Anyone ever been there? Good. Okay, I'm glad. Just get me through the next hour and a half. And I walked through the door, and the love and compassion of God's people overflooded my soul. Pastor Monty, that must have delivered you in that moment. No. But it helped. I remember Scott Pauley getting up to preach. I love Scott Pauley, the evangelist, Scott Pauley. Dr. Clarence Sexton went home to be with the Lord a while back, and if that college and church had any common sense, they would call Scott Pauley to run the whole show down there in Powell, Tennessee. That's just my opinion. But I love Scott Pauley. Do you know what he did? Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then through that week, he opened the Word of God and pointed me to Jesus. Every hymn that was sung in the services gripped my heart. I felt like everything was for me. I felt like the Holy Spirit of God was bringing everything for me. When he would stand up and read the scripture, when we would sing the hymns during that time period of darkness in my life, I felt like God laid this all out for me. There wasn't someone planning all of this. I felt like God laid it all out for me. And over again, though I could not see God in the crisis, to be quite honest, I couldn't see him. Over and over again, when I'd come into the sanctuary of God, the people of God would sing praises of God that would minister to my heart. The man of God would open the Word of God. It would minister to my heart. And in my heart of hearts, maybe I couldn't see God, but I remembered him. His presence, the Bible says, God inhabits the praises of his people. His presence, the Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And I found the presence of God again in the presence of his people. The worst thing you can do is turn your back on the church. Pastor Monty, blah, 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 blah. No. You find God back again with his people. You remember God's deliverance in verse 15. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Joseph, Selah, of course, speaking of redemption from Egypt land and deliverance at the hand of Moses. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee, they were afraid. The depths were also troubled. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Thine arrows went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lighted the world. The earth trembled and shook. Verse number 19, thy way is in the sea. What in the world is that talking about? The psalmist remembered God's deliverance, not of him personally, but of his people through the Red Sea. Oh, Pastor, that must have been an amazing thing to see good old Moses stand up on the edge of that sea. And good old Moses raised his staff over that sea, and a mighty wind began to blow. And the waters piled up over on this side. And the waters piled up over on that side. And then there was dry ground. And Moses would lead his people. Preacher, if I was there, I'd be next in line, right behind Moses, to march through that dry land of the Red Sea and get out of Egypt's land. Oh, yeah? I don't think so. You know what I would be doing? I'm like, okay, hope that wind holds up. How many would be that way? I promise I would be. Moses, I don't know what it is about that staff, Moses, but keep that in the air. You need some help with that? Somebody get over there to help Moses. I'd be a little nervous. I'd be a little hesitant. You know what God did? God delivered his people, an entire nation, through the sea. You can't see him now, but you can remember his deliverance. You reached the other side before, you can reach it again and one day see God again. And in verse 19, he spells it out, "Thy way is in the sea, thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known." There's something very key about that verse. It ties together really the whole message. He says, "Thy footsteps are not known." Pastor, in life, I wish I could follow the Lord Jesus so closely that I would just see his footprints. I would follow in his footsteps. I'd be that close to him. The Bible says specifically, sometimes his footsteps are not known. Sometimes you don't hear his footsteps. Sometimes you don't see his footprints. But that is partially the way of God. He is leading sometimes when we don't even know. You see, at the moment you say, "Pastor, I'm in so deep I can't see God anymore." At that very moment, God himself is leading, whether you see his footsteps or not, whether you hear his footfalls on the floor of your life, God is still leading. When you can't see God, he is still there. And how does it all work? Verse 20, "Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." Isn't God good to bring somebody into your life? Isn't he good to do that? Somebody just to come alongside and love on you a little bit. Somebody to encourage you a little bit. Somebody to be that person that uplifts your hands. Think of some dark times in my life, and there are certain people who stepped right up to the plate and lifted me up. And I needed some leading. Pastor Monty, you're the leader. Not always. I needed some help and I needed some leading. And God sent some people my way for whom I will forever be grateful. You say, "Pastor, did you see God?" I do now. I do now. Does that make sense? Sometimes we only see God when we look at it from a distance and we remember. But in our memory, we see how great our God is. When you can't see God, then purposely remember him. Remembering him is the way to see God again, and remembering him is the way back home. There's a little song. Some of you know this song. It's a gospel song. I love gospel music. Some of you might know this song. Remember that little song called "Remind Me, Dear Lord"? How many remember that? Do you remember that? "The things that I love." Do you remember this song? "And hold dear to my heart. They're just borrowed, they're not mine at all. Jesus, only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord." You know this song? "Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human, and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord." When you can't see him, remember him. Father, take the word this morning and minister to hearts, I pray. Lord, it's difficult. We are human. Sometimes we want to see you, but we can't. And Father, I pray that the Word of God would so minister to us today that we would remember, Lord, when we're going through it in deep waters, that we'll simply decide today to remember, to take time to meditate and reflect, maybe even today to go to a private or quiet place somewhere and just think, maybe through tears and heartache, but think of the goodness of God and remember. Father, in our crisis, help us to turn to you. And when we can't see you, help us to remember you. Speak to every heart, we pray, in Jesus' name. Stand with me, please, everyone. We'll stand.